This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. Thank you for listening to us wherever you are listening to us, which may be iTunes, it might be YouTube, it might be Facebook, it might be Stitcher. The Mile High Podcast is on all of those and downloaded in approximately 35 countries last I counted, which is absolutely amazing. Thank you for tuning in. And if you are listening to this, we highly would love and request that you subscribe. Just hit the subscribe button so that way you can continue and never ever miss a Mile High Podcast, as well as make sure that you get to mark on your calendar in permanent ink the date for Mile High, which is August 17th to 20th. That's when you want to rise higher and join us in Colorado to increase not only your altitude, but your attitude. And today, I am very grateful to have with me our guest, Kathy Wendling Kobe. She is a phenomenal chiropractor, and she has been teaching the world how to live a healthier lifestyle since 1988. Which would start as a simple after-school job teaching aerobics still in high school and ended up in health and fitness, ended up in chiropractic school, graduated life in 1998, and as many leadership positions in the profession, which we'll get to talk about. And I always enjoy getting to connect with her and hear her speak. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Kathy Wendling Kobe.
Thank you so much. You just made me blush. That's fantastic. Thank you for that great introduction.
Well, it's all true.
And it's true, but I don't normally talk about me, so thank you. I appreciate that.
And also, most recently, one of the things that I really am happy that you are putting so much energy to is the League of Chiropractic Women and the important role they play. So let's first talk about you in terms of just a little bit more about how you found your way into chiropractic.
All right, but I don't like talking about myself, so forgive me if I sound a little funny. But basically, I had that typical pathway that so many of our patients get into our offices. I got into a car accident. I actually got hit by a tractor trailer. I was about 18 years old, on top of the world. Life was going good. I was a fitness competitor. I was a professional model. I was teaching aerobics. I was a personal trainer. You know, life couldn't have been any better. I was on my way out to the Hamptons out in Long Island for the weekend to go set up my house out there for the summer and got hit by a tractor trailer. And my entire world just came crashing down and stopped. You know, I went from being this super duper athletic, fit, very, very energetic, go get 'em kind of person to I bent over to pick up my towel when it fell off getting out of the shower, and I got stuck there for 3 hours and had to wait for somebody to come home. Fortunately, it was my sister, which, I mean, if you can imagine how embarrassing that is as a teenager, I couldn't get up from that position. And it was the first time in my life that I realized that when people would come into my fitness classes and say silly things like, I can't do that, it hurts, and I would just kind of laugh and think they were crazy in my head, and I would just say, just do it anyway, suck it up. All of a sudden, I was that person, you know, that I physically couldn't do things. And over the course of the next 20 months, I went to everything, everybody, you name it, massage therapist, physical therapist, chiropractor, orthopedic surgeon, neurologist, biofeedback, pain specialist. You know, I went to everybody. The chiropractor never actually educated me about chiropractic, but I learned what I didn't want to do. And the more I learned about chiropractic, something just felt right. I really didn't understand chiropractic, but I came down to Marietta, Georgia, checked out the school, and made a decision on the spot that I was going. Still didn't know what chiropractic really was, because like I said, I didn't have a great chiropractor, but getting to the school and getting around people and really, like, in the very beginning, getting dipped with the philosophy, listening to Dr. Sid, oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps right now because the light bulbs just went off, like, this is exactly what I've been, how I've been living my whole life. I just never knew that it was chiropractic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. And, you know, I had similar experience myself, and so did my wife, Rochelle. You know, big thing, shift, and then it was such a life-changing thing. And so many people find their way into chiropractic as a profession that way, but also so many people find their way into our offices
right
along the same way. So now you've practiced for how many years?
Well, if we do the math, I don't know. I think I'm coming on to like my 18th year in practice. I just sat in the December graduation, and I don't normally sit through graduation. And it dawned on me that I had graduated in December 1998, and here it was December 2016. First time I sat through a graduation, so 18 years.
Yeah,
wow.
You know, I just had that thing. I had a December graduation from Sherman, and I saw that I just had 20 years. I was like, whoa, it's kind of hard to fathom.
Right.
However, in that time, you've helped a ton of people, you've changed a lot of lives, and you have a lot of experience to share that people could learn from and improve their learning curve. For just helping people get some tight takeaways right off the bat, what are some things that you'd recommend to people who are new in practice or maybe a couple years in that were like a big things that helped you out in practice?
I would say the biggest recommendation I can give everybody is that go find a mentor. Your life will be so much drastically different, so greatly improved if you find someone that's done it and can show you the way. Because I could tell you, I didn't have that. And I struggled. I mean, I made every mistake you could possibly make in my first 5 years in practice because I had no one to help me.
Mm-hmm.
But what that taught me is that I now have this burning desire to help other people so that they don't make that mistake. Because I can only imagine where I would be, where my practice would be, where chiropractic, the profession would be, if I didn't spend 5 years figuring things out and I was able to get really involved and help people sooner. So go find a mentor. Find someone that practices the way you want to practice. Find someone that has the philosophy that either you want or you already have. But find someone who's rock solid in their principle, in their philosophy, in their practice, in the way that they're communicating the message to their patients and to the public, and mentor with them. Let them help you. You don't necessarily need to find someone who is coaching 500 people, although that's probably great too. If they don't resonate with you, though, that won't work. You need to find someone that you click with and that you're willing to learn from.
Yeah, Anthony Robbins always says success leaves clues. So, like,
right.
If you have someone that's doing something that you want to do better than you or where you want to be, that's a great place to start, whether it's a coach or just a friend or a colleague or an associateship. And I did the same thing as you. I just kind of went at it myself. And you lose a couple of years when you do that, to say the least.
Yeah.
Of momentum that you could have. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. So tell me now, the leadership of the League of Chiropractic Women, Patty Giuliano, Kim Setzel are presidents. You have an incredible board. What are some things, why the LCW?
You know what? I'm so glad you asked me that because that comes up periodically. You know, why do we need an organization dedicated to women in this profession? And the reality is, whatever you identify yourself as, you could probably look at another group, however they identify themselves, and say, you know, why do they need their own organization? I mean, can't we all just get along, right? And I'm all for that. Can't we all just get along? But the realization in a lot of women's mind had been formulating and coming together that women just weren't really represented in our profession. We weren't really acknowledged. We weren't really given opportunities. So if women aren't given opportunities, then why not create opportunities where none exist? And I can tell you that anyone that's ever heard me speak, especially when I speak at an LCW event, I always pay such a huge tribute to Jeannie Ohm and Sharon Gorman. I mean, I love them, I appreciate them, I respect them. But coming up in chiropractic, when I was going to school, and mind you, this didn't dawn on me when I was a student, it didn't dawn on me until recently, there were never any women speakers other than Jeannie or Sharon. If you went to a seminar, if you went to assembly, if you went anywhere, you very rarely saw a woman speaker. But being a New York Italian who just kind of like rolls with it, I didn't even pay attention to the fact that there weren't women. It was just, it was what it was. And then as I started going to seminars into my early years of practicing, the same thing. You really didn't see a lot of women on stage, but maybe I just chalked that up to women weren't interested in speaking. I, however, was a professional speaker outside of chiropractic, and I always spoke outside of chiropractic, but I never spoke in the profession, and I almost didn't want to until the opportunity started coming, and then they just started coming rapid fire. Well, it was around the same time that LCW was starting, and one of the reasons it was starting is because women's voices weren't being heard. Women are very rapidly becoming 50% of our profession, and in the next 5 to 10 years, women in the profession will actually outnumber the men in the profession. But like most fields that are dominated with women, such as nursing or secretarial work, when you look at any type of seminars, any type of representatives, any kind of speakers in those fields, they're typically not women. Even though those are women-dominated professions, they're typically men. Well, in chiropractic, as the number of women that are entering school and entering the profession was increasing, the number of women on state boards, on state associations, on stages around the profession was not increasing. It was actually staying the same. And we looked at it and we said, maybe women think that they don't have the time. Maybe women think that they don't have the skills. Maybe women think that, you know, their voice isn't loud enough or as important enough. So how do we mentor them? How do we make sure that they feel confident, comfortable, that they can afford the time to go and commit to state associations, state boards? How do we make sure that they know that this is even a possibility for them? So one of the big pushes for me through LCW as the vice president of programming is I want to make sure that women learn how to use their voice, that they learn how to express the chiropractic message, they can share it with their patients, with the public, that they can help mentor and educate other doctors. So we're really in a big push to getting women to make sure that they get their voices heard on stages or in their community or in different organizations and associations so that they can start having a seat at the table and a say in the conversation. I think it's important. One of my good friends, Pam Jarbo, she has always said, you know, the men have led our profession to where it is, and they've done a great job, but the women are going to help nurture the profession into what it becomes over the next 50 or 100 years. Not that we're going to take the role of the man, we're just going to be assisting. So I think it's going to be more of a collaboration, and I think we're going to see the profession truly grow and reach the masses in the next 20 to 50 years.
Well, and another thing is that I don't know if people realize this. You may know the numbers more accurately than me, and if you do, please share. But my understanding is actually the percentage of women in chiropractic schools now may be outnumbering men, if I understand that correctly, or it's really close.
It is. If it's not already outnumbering, it's very close. But the projection is 2020, the scales tip, and by 2030, the profession will actually tip to about 60% women.
Right.
That's the statistics, the most recent ones that I've heard.
Yeah, and I've heard I've heard the same, you know, same kind of thing. And so I agree with you 100% in that that nature has to be more whole, more complete than one-sided as it has been, which will be really wonderful for chiropractic and also really wonderful for the patients that we serve, which is why we all do this. Right. So,
right.
Absolutely. And you also do a lot of different types of training programs in addition to practice. And people are always like, how do you do all these things? I know I hear that too. Share some of the things that you're involved with right now.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll just tell you the personal aspect of it. I still teach aerobics 4 days a week. I teach group fitness.
Wow.
And I homeschool my kids. Right. And my husband and I, we've got two practices. I mentor students that are always in the office all the time. I teach a business class at Life University every quarter. But I'm also involved on the board of the Georgia Council of Chiropractic, obviously on the League of Chiropractic Women. I'm on the advisory board of the PEAK program at Life University. So those of you who actually have a PEAK student, if you've taken the time to actually read your training manual, I wrote that in a way that would help your students learn everything that they need to know prior to graduation so that they can make that transition from student to doctor while they're in your office. That's a big thing for me, really making sure that the students have an understanding of the business aspect of chiropractic. Right. You know, we want them to be principled. We want them to be philosophically based. That is so important. We want them to be excellent communicators. They have to know how to communicate the message of chiropractic. They have to be phenomenal adjusters. You know, they can't get by with just the oops, how'd that feel? You know, they really have to be a phenomenal adjuster. But if they're going to own their own practice, they have to learn the business side of it, because otherwise they'll muddle through. They'll get frustrated. They won't be successful, and they'll give up on their practice and they'll blame the profession. And we don't want to see that happen. I want to see students hit the ground running and be ultra successful, taking from all of those people, all of those mentors, all of us, who have the ability to share our experience so that they don't make the same mistakes we made and catapult even further forward.
Right, absolutely. So when we were talking before, you said one of your favorite quotes was that people are where they are because of the choices that they've made. One, why do you like that quote? And really more so, what, especially talking about business classes, why would that be important for, what choices would be important for students or new grads?
So the reason why I love that quote is my parents always taught us growing up that you could be anyone, do anything, and have everything you want in this world as long as you're willing to do what it takes. And it's about working. And I remember reading books as a child that when you got to the bottom of the page, it said, if you open the red door, go to page 8, but if you open the blue door, go to page 10. And then you went to that page. Do you remember those books? Like, most people don't remember those books. And then when you went to that next page, you came up with two more choices. So you could read the same book 1,000 times and have a completely different outcome. That led me to understand that the choices you make all along determine the outcome. So if they determine the outcome in the book when it's really not very significant, what kind of outcome do they determine in your life when your choices really are significant? And it's as simple as, you know, when you get up in the morning, do you grumble and moan? Do you go get coffee and Pop-Tarts and soda and junk food? Or do you hit the ground running, ready to take on the day and really, you know, conquer the world? It's everything you do all the time. Those decisions really shape who you become. So for the students, I try to teach them to not make decisions that they will spend the rest of their lives paying for. Don't graduate and think that you have to go in over your head and do a $150,000 build out. There's time for that later. And many of you will do that someday, but you don't need to do that today. Right now, when you're new in practice or you're new in your own practice, because maybe you've been working with someone else for a while, you need to get your hands on as many people as possible and educate your community so that you can truly have an impact. And if you're worried about paying for your build out or paying your overhead or paying, then you're doing them as dollar bills that need to be taken. And nobody wants that feeling. Your patients don't want that. Your staff doesn't want that. Nobody would willingly sign up for that type of care. So don't go in over your head. Go low budget, build your practice. When your practice is so big that you're busting out at the seams, then build your building or buy a building. And at that point in time, then when you own that real estate, which should be your big goal before building a beautiful build out in somebody else's rental unit, then you do that beautiful build out. That's when you do it, when you can afford to.
Right. And that's so important. And now, I mean, people owe more than you and I owed, right? And so you have to be business-wise. And everybody in their first 5 years, even if you're starting to build momentum, you have to still be smart, you know? And mm-hmm. you have to always be smart. But those first 5 years graduating, it's such an important thing because you really, people can tell a mile away if your focus is something else, right?
Right.
And the first thing that you gotta be focused on is that person in front of you and how giving them the best attention, best care you can is gonna impact their life and impact the planet through them. So, and if your headspace is somewhere else, it's a challenge, always. So
yes.
Vital to like have it to really use that as an exercise in terms of, you know, having your hands, head and heart in the right place for sure. So for you, why do you think it is so important for both students and doctors to continue to go to various chiropractic events?
Because you have to get dipped, because the world gets on you. The garbage of out there gets on you, and you got to wash it off and scrub it off. And I think that when you go back to your roots, when you go to seminars and events around the country with different groups, I mean, don't just stick with one group because you'll only grow as far as that one group will allow you to. But go to different seminars and events and get the feeling and get the vibe and get the philosophy and the energy and the passion from other people that maybe you hadn't been exposed to before. Let it get on you. Like, rub up on them, share it, get that stuff on you instead of the garbage that the world, because the world will try to beat you down if you let it. The world will tell you that you're not good enough, that you're not successful enough, that your body's not smart enough. I mean, it does it to women all the time, right? It tells them that they're not capable of having a natural birth. The world is always trying to beat people down to what they cannot do. And in chiropractic, we're always trying to build people up to what they absolutely can do. And when you go back to your roots, when you get back to seminars, when you get around like-minded people, when you bring your family and your spouse and your staff and your children to these events so that you're raising up the conscious level of those people that are around you, helping you serve the community, then all of a sudden everybody wins because everybody's on fire for what it is that we do, why we do it, so that they can be empowered to serve more people and do it much better. You have to stay dipped.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to ask you this, if you agree or not, I tend to find that when I go to something, you know, it's not just who's on stage. I get so much from the conversations in the hallway, the people that I talk to, that actually is just as important, the environment, the people I'm with, as what's going on stage.
Oh, it absolutely is. You know, I'm very fortunate, very blessed to have the privilege to speak on stages all over the world. It's not the speaking part that jazzes me up. It's the getting to know doctors around the world and getting to understand what their needs are so that I can speak into their needs so that we can help them achieve the next level of success. It's about getting to see what chiropractors in Scotland are experiencing, or Rome, or what they're experiencing in Amsterdam or England or in Colorado or California or Seattle. Being around different chiropractors and getting to understand their experiences, the challenges that they're dealing with, like, you know, different legislation in the states coming up right now, and understanding that that could happen in any one of our states at any moment's notice. So we all need to rise up and get involved. Being around those people, though, that's my family. You know, that's right. Those are my friends. That's the people I want to be around. And there's a great message always coming from the stage, but there's an important message always coming in the back of the room and at the bar and, you know, in the social time when you really connect with people and find out, you know, how can I help you, or how can something you're experiencing help me serve my community at a better level?
Yeah, I always find I get so much from the experience of the community and the experience of people, and it's so important. So thank you for taking your valuable time, because I know how busy you are. I didn't even know you were doing homeschooling. Wow, it's a whole nother level.
I have doctors that I coach. When I get off the call with you, I'm coaching doctors because I do coach a lot of women to become speakers, because if I'm going to put my mouth and my foot out there, you know, then I got to put my money where my mouth is. And so I'm really working hard to train a lot of speakers to get out there and actually have the confidence in themselves, in their voice, and in their abilities to get out there and share the message.
Right. And I'm so grateful you're doing that, because we always put so much attention at Mile High to making sure we have as high a percentage of male female, you know, females, male female ratio as we possibly can. So, and we're always looking for great people to speak, and you often send me suggestions, so I really appreciate that as well. So,
you know what, I want to say I do appreciate you and Michelle, because from the beginning you guys have always kept it very balanced, and anytime we've given you a suggestion, you guys are so gracious, and you put such a diversity up on your stage. I just absolute love and appreciation for that. That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll make sure she sees that. And she was sorry that she got to miss you at the last LCW, the retreat that you guys crossed paths. But
we did.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on the podcast. And thank you for all you do for chiropractic and for the LCW and for students and for doctors and so many levels. And we need more people that can take what their gifts are and help mentor other people. And that's one of the things I so appreciate you about you. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Feeling is mutual.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Mile High Podcast. Remember, if you enjoyed this episode, look for the other episodes, subscribe, and we look forward to seeing you at Mile High August 17th to 20th. Raise up your altitude and attitude. See you there. Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/milehighchiro.